Jamil on the beat. What is going on? Welcome to the podcast, the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review. We do appreciate that very much. Appreciate the support, the detractors, the compliments, the criticism. It really doesn't matter to me. But I appreciate that you go on and do whatever it is you feel like you need to do when you subscribe, when you rate, and you review. And you can say anything that you want to say, but one thing you won't say is that I'm full of shit. Because I try not to be. I know at times we can all be, you know, full of shit in some matters and sometimes not. But when it comes to this podcast, being full of shit is something that it don't work over here. It doesn't compute over here. Because we're going to speak the truth, tell it what it is, and whatever you want to do with it, you can take it or you can leave it. It's all good. My phrase of choice for this week is that they look for anything. They look for anything. And you always say things like they look. You always say the first question is, who's they? Well, I'll tell you who they is. It's the people where situations happen of racial tension or a racial incident or an incident with police where Dante Wright gets killed, or an incident where Michaela Bryant, the situation that happened in, I believe it was Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, the young lady that lost her life that lived in the foster home, 16 years old. We all saw what happened. We all saw what occurred. It was a serious, unfortunate event. And to me, I've always said, yes, if you saw the video, Michaela Bryant did have a knife and she was wielding it. And it looks as if at that time that she was getting ready to stab the young lady that was on the car, and the police officer made a decision to shoot. Now, if you ask me, subduing or putting somebody down in terms of just making sure that they cannot be a harm to others is something that I don't understand why that can't be the case here. Because regardless, yes, she was shot, but at the same time, somebody posted something of, that was your daughter that was behind that knife, what would you have done if you had the gun in your hand? But people ask that question all the time, but they have to think and realize that, yes, but I'm not a police officer. What would I do with the gun as a non-police officer really doesn't matter, because most likely I would shoot. And I most likely will shoot multiple times. But me, I'm not a police officer. I haven't been trained in high tense situations where stuff is going at 100 miles an hour and you have to make decisions on the fly. I haven't been trained on them things in terms of what to do to walk up to a group of people when a situation is going on. I know a police officer recently that came out that went viral was saying that 99% of the job is communication. And it seems to me there's a lack of communication when it comes to police, when it comes to these situations. They don't know how to do only one thing, and that is shoot. And like I said, maybe one shot was warranted. Maybe a shot in the leg. Maybe somewhere where it can subdue her. Because she was angry. And we do all know we have to be careful when we're angry, when we're mad, and especially if we're angry and we're mad and we have something in our hand that can cause some damage. But four times, four shots in the chest. That's very tough for that young lady to survive that, and she did not, unfortunately. Because instead of just subduing, maybe taking a shot where maybe the leg, like I said earlier, somewhere where it can slow her down, somewhere where it can subdue. But no, they shoot to kill. And I think most police officers in that situation are trained, or I don't even know if they're trained. I don't even know that. It's as if they just make a decision to shoot to kill. Adam Toledo, same situation. They're shooting to kill. No type of communication. Just a yada yelling, high intense, high adrenaline, so fired up. And a lot of times, most police, when they get in those situations, they're scared for their own lives. Because they have wives, they have kids, they have families. But the situation is, that's the job that you took. Okay? It's like when you go to fast food places and you go get something to eat, and the person there, for some kind of reason, seems to have an attitude. It's just a attitude. You ordering your food and they're just giving you attitude. And you're like in your head, like, why are you giving me attitude? And you can kind of tell that this is a day that they don't want to be here. They don't feel like doing it, but they're here. And you tell yourself, well, bro, what you mad at me for? I'm not the one that filled out the job application for you. It wasn't me. I didn't fill it out. So what you got the attitude with me for? And it's the same thing when it comes to police. Nobody made them to be a police. Nobody forced them to be a police officer. Nobody said this is what you had to do. This was the job that was at hand. So you have to do it. No. You make a decision to become a police officer and everything that comes with it. And you do understand there are situations where you can possibly lose your life in the line of duty, but that comes with the territory, as if somebody who joins the military and has to go fight on the front lines. Once you do that, there is high opportunity where there could be a chance where you can lose your life, but the training and everything that you put into place helps you deal with those situations. So hopefully, if you're ever in them, you know what to do to get out of it safely and get back home to your family safely. But they are looking for something. Well, before I even get to that, our hearts go out from here, correctly mistaken, to Michaela Bryant, to Dante Wright. But they're always looking for something. And what I mean by that is LeBron James. Now, LeBron James, to me, the greatest basketball player that I've ever seen in my life. And that's a whole other podcast for a whole other day. But obviously, the situation when Michaela Bryant came out, Michaela Bryant lived in Columbus, Ohio. LeBron James is an Ohio kid, a kid from Akron. I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, so not in the same area, but Ohio, nevertheless. And he came out after this happened because Derek Chauvin was convicted on last week, all three charges. Not really an excitement. I think everybody has been saying the same thing in the black community. Not a ton of excitement because it shouldn't be to the point where we have to be on pins and needles and have anxiety risen for something that the whole world saw. And literally you had a defense that was trying to tell you what you saw, you did not see. That's what it was. And that's why the anxiety was up. That's why us as black people had no idea what the hell was going to happen. Didn't know. Didn't think what was, didn't know which side it was going to go. But obviously, if you look at the case and you see it, that young lady who actually taped the video, because we saw his report after what he said what happened, contrary to the video that that 17-year-old girl put out showing what really happened. So yeah, something so obvious. It was amazing to me that they took even 10 hours to deliberate. I'm like, what are you taking 10 hours for? But LeBron James, he came out and he tweeted the picture of the gentleman that shot Michaela Bryant. And he put, "You're next." Now, people try to interpret that, and I know what LeBron was doing. I think most people know, people who have a sane head know LeBron James wasn't putting a hit out for the cop that shot Michaela Bryant. That's what he was not doing. But what he did say was accountability. We're talking about accountability. But at the same time, once the incident happened and everybody saw the tape, LeBron James did delete it because he said, and you know what the thing is that drives me crazy? People seem to act as if once you say something and once you put out something that you can't change your way of thinking as the facts change. It always drives me crazy when people come out. That's why a lot of times you just have to be careful and not speak until you see everything. But even sometimes when you do speak on something and something comes out that happens to be a little premature, and as the facts change, your take or your position on it may change, but you can't. Because they're always looking for something, some kind of way, some kind of how to bring you down and make it feel as if all you're trying to do is put the same things on them as you say we've been put on you. And why should you do that if you all one of all if you want all of us to be in unity? If you want all of us to be unified, if you want all of us to be on one accord, why would you say the things and do the things that show the opposite of that? And you know, that's not ever the case, most likely. Usually you had the white right-wing people who these situations happen to be race relations, race tensions, and they come out and they say things and what they believe to be how they're looking at the situation, or trying to, what's the word I'm looking for, twist a statement of something that LeBron said as if that he's looking himself, or him himself is a racist for what he's saying. And, and that's always amazing to me. Because you see, a lot of times with white people, or what they seem, and not all of them, I shouldn't say white people in a whole, but people who come out and they accuse and say that LeBron James is racist, and he's more racist than anything. And it's like, why? They look for anything to try to dismiss, devalue, put down, so they can feel okay in their position. Instead of trying to take the time to really understand, see the perspective, see where we're coming from. No, we just want to throw it and get rid of it, because if we have to confront it, we have to confront ourselves, our very race, we have to confront. We don't want to do that. So what we do is we kind of, they wait. When I say we, I'm talking about they. They wait. I'm talking in their perspective. They wait and they see. They try to see what somebody says. Somebody of, like when Charles Barkley comes out and he says what he says, white folk get happy because see that black person? See that black person is telling you that police are good. That's what they're telling you. There's nothing wrong with police. You see what Charles Barkley said? And they love that, because the one token black person says something and they think, oh, see, Systemic racism is a facade. But see, Charles Barkley comes from a place of privilege. Yes, he came poor. He grew up poor. But he's not that no more. And he hasn't been there in a very, very, very long time. And he lived in the generation, he played in the generation where they didn't speak out on these things. Hell, he even said he wasn't a role model. It's not his job. Even those things that were going on, that were happening, that were transpiring. The Rodney King situation happened when they were playing. Nothing. Nothing was said about LeBron James, who has showed what he's done for his community, what he's done for his people, what he's done for how he's spoken out, how he continues to talk. He won't shut up and dribble. But yes, did he come out and had one point of view and he saw it? Because this is the thing. It gets to the point where it's really hard when you see a police shooting of an unarmed black person. At that time, it's really, really difficult to try to, let's comment, let's put this in a vacuum and see the case and see the facts and see the details. When you hear shot, unarmed, and killed, and black, it's not hard to go to what you want to go, to feel how you want to feel in terms of what you think this way should go, or what do you think happened? And once again, the same old thing going on in our country where people unarmed of color are getting shot and killed. And when you hear that, and then you hear her being a child at that, and you get so sick of it, especially when we're in the middle of a Derek Chauvin trial that just concluded, and then this happens. This occurs. So you tell yourself, what the fuck? Like, it's happening again? So he came out and he said, what he said, a picture, you next. And it wasn't a hit, but it was accountability that he felt that another case of accountability has to happen for this officer. He did delete it after more facts came out, and it happened to be a very unfortunate situation, even though I believe that police officer was still excessive. Four shots in the chest, you can subdue. It's the old saying, bringing a gun to the knife fight, where actually you have what it takes to de-escalate the situation or change that situation, where now that young lady that has the knife will no longer be a threat. But it doesn't have to no longer be a threat by her losing her life. You can do other ways. A taser, a shot in the leg, I don't know. But why do we have to go to the excessive route every single time? The same thing with the brother. I believe his name is Isaiah Brown. In this neck of the woods, Spotsylvania, 3 o'clock in the morning, has a cordless phone in his hand. Cop says, "It's put the gun down. It isn't a gun." Shoots him 10 times. It's quite excessive, don't you think? 10 times? And now, thankfully, he didn't die, but he's still right now in critical condition, fighting for his life after being shot 10 times. See, when you blast and you shoot like that, there is a fear. And see, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having fear and being cautious. But in those positions of authority, those positions where you have a firearm, you cannot operate in fear and trepidation because these things occur. Isaiah Brown is shot 10 times. Michaela Bryan is shot 4 times. And yes, so LeBron James comes out and says, oh, you next, accountability. And yes, the case, the facts came out and some things were differently, but it doesn't matter. The point still remains. The shit has been going on for so many years. So yes, he came out and said something prematurely, but you know what? Who cares? Who cares? Because accountability is needed in the law enforcement system. But see, what happens is, because they always looking for something. They're trying to find ways to minimize and dismiss. See, that's what's going on in this country as a whole anyway, especially from the Republican side, where they're now using the word woke. You know, woke used to be something that we used as black people to say, hey, stay woke. Like, hey, man, be careful. Stay woke. But now it's being used by the other side of ways to act as if woke means doing stuff to come against your freedoms, being woke or cancel culture that they made up. There's no such thing as cancel culture until they made it up. The side of people who are looking, when I say they, I mean those Republicans, they, conservatives, they, those who are looking to any kind of way to minimize what's going on in this country, to keep the country the way they want it to be. That's the whole fight. That's why you have a group of people, a Republican Party, who plays off minority rule. But woke, how they just took in that and they call it woke culture and everybody's trying to be woke. And see, they Republicans do a very good job of messaging. One thing you could say with Republicans, they do an outstanding job of messaging because all they do is rinse and repeat and say the same old things to get you scared, get you jacked up, get you anxiety high. And then you think they're the way to go. And see, these a lot of people, they know what happens if people truly get waking up and they truly realize the shit that's been going on is a problem. And we do know that. The majority of people are waking up to it. But you still have another side that's trying to use those very same words as a detriment to act as if, no, it's not woke. It's these woke people trying to come and these liberals trying to come in here and ruin our way of life. Change our way of life. Uproot our way of life. Our freedoms, our liberties. Well, in this country, I haven't seen people who have lost their freedom or their liberties. Yes, we have a public health crisis. So we're trying to be careful with that. But you see, obviously, in Florida this past weekend, that don't matter no more. But they're always looking for something. They're always looking for something. And then when they find it, they try to use it to be dismissive. They try to use it to minimize, to act as if it's not a big deal. These are just these woke liberal who are trying to come in here and change our country from the inside out and take away our rights and our freedoms. And it hasn't happened yet. Joe Biden is president and nobody's taking any freedoms or any liberties. Outside of asking that to Jim Jordan, the congressman of Ohio, and as he keeps saying those things over and over and over, all the buzzwords, cancel culture, woke, What else is the buzzword? Cancel culture, woke, taking away our freedoms and our liberties, socialism. I tell you, just the buzzwords. And they'll look for anything. From LeBron James, from politicians who don't agree with their way of things, they'll look for anything to keep their way of life. And we know if you go to the origin of the way of life that they're talking about, it's the one where we go back to being three-fifths of a man. That's the, when they say they're trying to change this country. Equality. They don't want that. They want to dominate. They want to try to do the things to them. They want to do things to us that supposedly we did to them, but no. I don't even know what I'm trying to make up a voice. I tell y'all, man, they're always looking for something. And then when they find it, they pray and they beat it like a dead horse. And what they're doing, even with LeBron James, because he came out and said what he said, they're trying to put him as if he's somebody that's racist or he's somebody that is insensitive to police. And we've always, and see, that's the thing too. Nobody has never said anything about we not needing police. Nobody said nothing about defunding in terms of abolishing police or defunding police, where even when you say defund police, it doesn't mean that you take out police. And they know that. But it's easier to say they want to get rid of the police. You see what they're saying? Defunding, taking money, getting rid of them. Then that scares people. People say, I don't want to live in a country where there's no police. Hell, I don't want to live in a country where there's no police. And they know that we won't live in a country where there's no police. They know that. But the fact of the matter is, if you keep saying it, you keep beating it in there, and you say it with such a dramatic effect and so much passion as if you care. Because they're going to defund the police. We can't let that happen. And really what they mean is, no, we can't have the George Floyd Police Reform Act. That's what they mean by that. Because there's nothing wrong with police doing this country. They do what we want them to do. As long as they look at blacks and minorities as lower, we can continue going with this country the way we wanted to go. This is great. And that's what they do. That's how they operate. They looking for anything, something to minimize, to be able to say, see what they're doing. They're not talking the right talk. They're saying things that are divisive. And saying that we want police reform because we're tired of them caught killing unarmed black people and people of color, that's divisive. It's only divisive because they don't want that to happen. See, it's funny. It's divisive when you don't want it to happen. But when you want something to happen, now it's the unity, because it's unity on your terms. And the time for unity on your terms is no more. And you can let them know that. Until next time, love each other, hate no one. This is the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. And I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Be blessed. Peace.